Okay, my name's Toby Tyrrell from the National Oceanography Centre in Southampton, and I'm the coordinator of the Sea Surface Consortium in the UK Ocean Acidification Programme. And our task, our role in that programme is to look particularly at the impacts of ocean acidification on what's going on in the surface ocean. So we're looking at the impacts on the plankton. These are the sort of the phytoplankton which use sunlight to like the plants of the ocean, and the zooplankton which eat them, the bacteria in the ocean. Most of the organisms that we'll be looking at are these very small microscopic organisms, and what impacts the changing seawater chemistry might have on those organisms. We're also looking at the possible impacts on the biogeochemical rates, and that sort of includes things like nutrient cycling, which then fuels the primary production in the ocean, and also whether there might be consequences and feedbacks that have an impact back on the climate system as well, and that's another aspect of what we're looking at. The reason that some of these things might be important, obviously the plankton in the ocean are what the fish eat, so it has a knock-on consequences possibly for fisheries, but also the plankton in the surface ocean, as the phytoplankton grow, they take up carbon from the surface water, and so that acts to remove, indirectly to remove carbon from the atmosphere, and can have an impact on the amount of CO2 in the atmosphere. And there are other possible impacts, such as the amount of nitrous oxide that gets emitted from the sea surface to the atmosphere, and again, that's a greenhouse gas. So it's about the health of the ocean, the fisheries in the ocean, the climate impacts of the ocean. All of these things are possible down-the-line consequences of the effects of ocean acidification on the sea surface. In order to investigate these questions, we've got maybe about 50 people in total from 10 or 11 different institutes around the UK, and we're pooling some of the best expertise to tackle these questions. And in terms of the techniques that we're using, one of the techniques is a slightly new experimental technique whereby we take water from the sea surface directly. We don't do anything to that water apart from adjusting the carbon concentrations, the CO2 levels. And so we try to mimic possible future CO2 levels, such as 550 parts per million or even 1,000 parts per million, which is beyond what's projected for the end of this century, or a very high-end scenario for the end of this century. And we look to see that if the atmospheric CO2 goes that high, and then that goes into the surface ocean, which we know it does, then what consequences might that have? And one technique that we use is that we take the seawater from the surface ocean, we manipulate the carbonate chemistry, and then we look at all sorts of possible responses. We look to see whether the community structure in the phytoplankton in the plankton changes. We look to see whether the shells, the calcium carbonate shells of different plankton, are getting affected. We look to see at whether the amount of nitrous oxide that I talked about before, for instance, coming out of the sea surface has changed. And a whole variety, really, of possible different impacts of ocean acidification. But we're doing it in a very naturalistic way, in the sense that we're taking the ocean as it is and we're subjecting it to these changed CO2 levels and seeing what response we get to the altered CO2. So in contrast to a lot of the previous work that's been done, where they've taken individual microbes and they've grown them up in cultures or vats, if you like, or tanks in the laboratory, and then subjected them there to CO2. Most of our work is not done in the labs on shore, but rather using the actual seawater, the natural seawater on the ship out at sea. That's part of what we do. We also have a second strand to our research, is where we're just going to different parts of the ocean which have naturally different CO2 levels, different acidities, and we're looking to see how the natural communities that live there and that are adapted to those conditions, how they vary from place to place as well. That's a second important strand to our research. It's still quite early days. We had our first cruise in summer 2011, so maybe 9 months ago. We are starting to get results coming through, and we are seeing some consistent results from the experiments that we do. But in order to really get a complete picture, we need to have all the data sets be analysed and then look at all of the different pieces of information and piece it together as a large jigsaw puzzle, if you like. We're not at that stage yet. We're starting to see what looks like some interesting results, but we haven't pieced together the whole jigsaw yet, so we can't really say anything too confidently about the impacts as yet. We can say that we are seeing some responses that occur across the different experiments out at sea that we've done. So in that sense, it does seem that there are some definite responses. What's more difficult is to... we're not really at a stage where we can start projecting exactly what the impacts are likely to be. We've got a second cruise coming up very shortly in a couple of months' time to the Arctic Ocean, and so we're frantically preparing for that cruise, and that should be very exciting. And then 6 months after that, we're going to the Southern Ocean, and so we're already, even though we haven't undertaken our second cruise, we're starting to prepare as well for our third cruise. So we've got a period of hectic activity coming up over the next few months, and then we've got time to sit down and work up all our data and really get our teeth into looking at what the implications of it all are.